house for sale. I'll tell you where to redirect my mail.
Redirect it to Cleve Gaddis, king of Atlanta real estate, now residing at least temporarily in Houston, Texas. How are things looking in Houston after all that horrible weather and the hurricane and everything?
What we saw last night really looked good. We came in though after dark.
I got you.
And it's funny because we came into the airport, and I don't even remember the name of it. It's the one north of the city, and we're a long way from the ocean. And I asked our Uber driver, you know, if this area flooded, or was it so far away? And he was pointing out all the different areas that flooded. So sounds to me like it affected the entire city, but looks like it's recovering just fine. And you mentioned earlier it was humid in Atlanta. It is. Yeah. It's like soup. It's like a humidity soup in Houston this morning.
That's low lying, you know. I mean, Houston is like at sea level.
I think it is.
I've spent some time in Houston, and it was humid when I was there as well. Not like New Orleans, but close to it.
And it is flat as a board.
Yes, it is.
We are south of Houston, and I think I can see all the way to the other side of the city from here.
I noticed that as well. Well, let's get right to it. Cleve Gaddis,
sir,
is involved in real estate here in the Atlanta area, and he's all over the place, Cleve. I'm gonna let you tell folks immediately how they can find you before we get started on questions this morning.
Absolutely. They can find me several different ways. I'm the host of the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show on your sister station, News Talk 1160. I happen to be on today at 2 o'clock, an hour-long show. Very interesting guest on today's show for those who are interested. We start at 2 o'clock today. Scott Murphy, who is the owner of B.S. Murphy & Associates, an appraisal company, but he's also chairman of the Appraisers Board in the state of Georgia. And we talk all things appraisal. And there are some things that come out in our conversation that affect appraisals now that I didn't know were affecting appraisals so much, like the cosmetic condition of the interior of your home. So I advise everybody to tune in News Talk 1160 today at 2 o'clock. Also, I'm with Gaddis Partners REMAX Center. Been in real estate in Metro Atlanta for about 30 years. You can reach me by phone, 770-497-0000, or you can visit us online, and that's gogaddis.com, GOGADDIS.com. I sat down at a restaurant here last night, by the way, and they asked me if I was related to Evan Gaddis, and I said, no, that's two T's. I'm with two D's.
Did you tell him that he used to play for us in Atlanta and we miss him?
Well, you know, I told them that, and the waiter was not impressed by that at all. In fact, he just kind of scoffed at me and walked off. And
we saved his career. We saved his career.
We did.
He was working at a regular job somewhere. I forget what it was, and he was out of baseball. And we, the Atlanta Braves, took a chance on him. Look, now he's a World Series champion. Well, let's. I want to talk to you this morning because the tax plan is coming through. I have all kinds of questions for my accountant as well, but let's start with you. Proposed changes in the president's tax plan that will affect homeowners, of which I am one. So
according to the National Association of Realtors and the National Association of Home Builders, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Oh, dear Lord, the sky is falling. I'm not sure that I totally agree with that, though.
Uh-huh.
So let me tell you what I understand about the proposed changes. Existing homeowners, so if you own a home now, regardless of what you purchase it for, provided it's not more than $1 million, because I think the cap to be able to deduct your interest payments on a home were set at $1 million purchase price for a home. It could have been $1 million mortgage amount, but there was a cap previously. But for moving forward, those who purchase homes moving forward, if the home purchase price is over $500,000, you will not be able to deduct the interest payments that you make on your home. If it's under $500,000, then you will be able to deduct the interest payments on your home, just like you could, in 2017.
Yeah. Okay.
And naturally, none of this is law yet. This is just the president's proposed bill, and it's got to be negotiated and debated and everything else. So they're also saying, Larry, now you probably know, but when you pay your taxes in Cobb County, you get to deduct those property taxes from your federal and state income tax, and they are proposing a limitation of $10,000. The $500,000 purchase price means most Americans won't be affected.
No.
The $10,000 limit on deductions for property taxes it also means most Americans won't be affected.
No.
I looked online to see if I could find the percentage of people they think will be affected, of homeowners they think will be affected by these changes, and it's a, they say, Forbes magazine says it's a whopping 6%.
Yeah, but that's still, you know, with that kind of, when you're talking about $10,000 in property taxes, that's a big, big house and lots of land. So they're talking about, they'll get some money out of that. But
Or it's a little teeny house in San Francisco or Manhattan.
Or L.A. You're right. You're exactly. Or New York. Look at New York.
Right.
Jeez, we've talked about that before. About what it costs to live in New York City. Anyway, so we just have to wait and see what they finally negotiate. And
that's right. Let me mention one other thing, Larry, just before I get off the subject. They're also proposing that the standard deduction, so I don't have it for a single person. It must be somewhere around $5,000 or $6,000 is your standard deduction. So if you don't itemize your deductions, you get $5,000 or $6,000 in deductions. A married couple would be able to deduct $12,700 today. Well, they're proposing that those numbers go up by almost 100% to $24,000.
Yeah, so it's going to be 12. It's going to be 12. What they're proposing is $12,000 now for single.
Yeah. $12,000 for single, $24,000 for married. So that very well might offset some of the, the cap on the interest rate, interest payment deductions and the property taxes, that might offset that somewhat.
Let me ask you this though, real quick.
Yes.
What is the personal deduction that they're saying they're going to take away now?
Ask that question again. I know.
Well, it sounds like that will be the only deduction. Is there a personal deduction as well? Or is that what we're talking about?
There's a deduction for single people, which would go from 6 to 12, and I think that's exactly
but
what we're talking
it.
About.
But that's it. That's the personal deduction. Okay. I was a little confused by that, if this was another deduction or if this was the personal deduction. Like when you put 1 or 2 on your withholding statement, that's the you're claiming.
Oh, no. Yes. Well, I think they're actually making changes to the child tax credits. So I don't know what the numbers are, and I'm sorry I'm not
okay,
to talk
that's
about
all right.
today, but I certainly can next Tuesday. They're proposing some changes based on the number of children. So I'm headed back home, and I'm planning to have 3 or 4 more children. No, I'm just kidding.
You're going to adopt. That's very good of you, Cleve. I'm really
happy for you. I don't
really
know that my wife is going to agree. Right. I don't know that my wife is going to agree.
Listen, let's just wait for the tax plan to get come out and see what it actually is and whether it's passed, and then we can look at this again.
Sounds good. You know what I am going to do is I'm going to read the whole – the proposal is 50 pages, 80 pages long, and I'm going to read that before next week. And
if
there's any other little tidbits in there, we can discuss them on next week's show. How about that?
That would be just fine. Just fine.
Yeah, because
something will have happened by then anyway, one way or the other.
We can connect that back to homeowners because I've never met a homeowner who wanted to pay more taxes, ever.
No. let's go on to how good are home warranties?
So this is a question we get from listeners all the time. And I'm going to answer it in an unusual way. Larry, if you have a home warranty on your house, the home warranty is as good as you are. And you're going to think, now what does that mean? Well, a home warranty company is not in business to pay every last claim that comes through. If they did, they wouldn't make any money. And so they're charging between $450 and $650 per year per home for these policies, and they can't be paying out more than that amount or they would go bankrupt. So what my wife has learned is that it's whoever has the most staying power is the one who wins with a home warranty. So you have a problem with your stove, they come out.
Yeah.
They don't, unfortunately, send the best vendors out because they're trying to get people who will do it at the most reasonable price, and you have to understand that. And, you know, then maybe they can't find a part, and then they go get a part, and then the part doesn't fit. And so ultimately, she says, if I stay on top of them and continue to call and continue to push my case, you know, either they will get it fixed to my satisfaction or they will give me a new one. But I think when people buy a home warranty and they think it's going to be really easy, I'll just put in a call about my warranty claim and everything will go smoothly, I think that's a panacea. I don't think that exists.
All right, so what I'm hearing from you is that it's sort of a toss-up whether or not to even get this home warranty or just, you know, I mean, if you want to go through the, jump through the hoops, that's, then get one, you know, but if you don't want to jump through the hoops, it's probably better just to get the work done yourself.
So here's the, I'm going to answer it differently. An unexpected $1,000 expense would be no problem for you. You know, maybe a home warranty is not the right thing for you. If you're buying a home and a $500 or $1,000 or $2,000 expense would really mess up your budget, throw you off track, then I would suggest you get a home warranty. So I see people all the time who buy home warranty. You know, they have a problem with the air conditioning. You know, they pay $200 or $300 to bring the work up to code. The home warranty company's paying $1,000. And it's very beneficial in those cases.
Yeah,
but
I got
it's still not, you make a phone call and the angels come down and fix your air conditioning today. Sometimes you're dealing with it for 2 or 3 weeks.
You know what,
and it gets very frustrating.
You know what this sounds like? Sounds like the car warranties. It sounds very much like the when you buy, which I'm debating whether to do, whether to, you know, now stay with the 2014 Impala with the 48,000 miles on it. Great car, no problems at all. But, you know, I can buy a warranty now for another 40,000, you know, miles if I want to, but it's going to cost me about $1,500 or so, you know, for this complete warranty to cover the car. So the, you know, the question is, am I going to have $1,500 worth of repairs on this car? You're gambling, you know, in a way.
And whether or not you're willing to stick with it long enough in order to get it done.
Yeah.
So what I ask everybody to remember when it comes to homeowners insurance or any other kind of insurance or warranties or anything is, these companies only make money if they can pay out less in claims and expenses than their total income. So don't be surprised when they look for ways not to pay out a claim. Now, it doesn't mean that just because they say no that you're going to go okay and go away. I mean, you can argue with them. You can present a second case. You could get somebody to come out and look at it yourself. It's just my wife decided, hey, if I'm willing to stick with it longer than they are, then I'm going to be the winner. And, you know, it's probably the case for car warranties.
Yeah, although that's a little bit more cut and dried. You know,
I mean,
they really are. I had one before, and I have to say my experience was really, really good with them.
Yeah, my,
I had to take them to the dealer. I had to take it to the place they wanted me to take it to.
That's right.
Yeah, but that was the
only thing.
Through the hoop. Yeah, yeah.
I agree. I've always liked my car warranties as well, but I always use the heck out of them.
Do you go ahead and buy the extra ones over, or do you just trade your car by the time it goes?
I buy the extended warranties on all of the cars. I never buy a new car, and so I always buy the extended warranties on the resales. I like to buy, like, the dealer models, the one the sales manager drove, things like that. So
yeah, me too.
You know, take 20% off the top,
That's what this Impala is. Exactly the same. We're in the same realm. This at 6,000 miles. It's a great car. Anyway, one more thing. Does a real estate agent have to, and I've wondered about this for years, does a real estate agent have to disclose multiple offers on a property? I know some do. I know, from experience, are they supposed to do that?
As a resident of the state of Georgia, what do you think the answer should be?
If you're revealing multiple offers to the person that's selling the house, absolutely.
So the buyers, the
because
the
then the buyer,
the seller,
yeah, the seller should know. The seller should know that there are more than one offer for the house.
Okay, so the law in Georgia is that every single offer, until a seller tells you not to present offers anymore, must be presented to the seller. Okay. But I think the question that came in from the listener was, does a listing agent representing a seller have to tell all the buyers and the buyer's agents about the existence of multiple offers?
I would say no.
You're exactly right. Most people think the answer is yes, but what the listing agent is responsible for doing is following the seller's instructions, and they really couldn't disclose the existence of multiple offers without the seller's permission. So whatever the seller tells them to do is what they can do. If a seller says, hey, I don't want you to tell everybody we've got three offers on the property, then that's what the listing broker is required to do. In most cases, though, Larry, the listing broker and the seller will want to disclose the existence of multiple offers because it helps them get, you know, one of the offers to a higher level of terms that are a little bit better for the seller.
Let me follow that up, though.
Sure.
Follow that up because we've just got a minute or so left here. I've heard of game playing going on in this area of real estate. There's reputable and there's not reputable. You know what I mean? But I have heard that there have been, or what are the ramifications for someone jacking up the price or, you know, making it into an auction when those prices are not saying, oh, we have another offer, but it's only like, you know, $1,000 more. Do you want to up your? I mean, what's to stop somebody from doing exactly what I'm talking about, which is playing one buyer against the other to raise the price?
In all reality, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Now, the issue comes in when the seller and the listing broker want to lie about the other offers, meaning when they want to say there are other offers when there aren't, or they're trying to just numbers to get the other numbers up.
Right.
And in that case, you know, what goes around comes around, meaning, you know, they'll get their due at some point in time. But you know, sometimes you get three offers in and you can either send out a highest and best notice to all three, or you can reject all three, or a seller can pick one to negotiate with.
Sure.
And it doesn't even have to be the best one. They can do whatever they want to. And a seller could tell the listing broker, I want you to tell, you know, buyer one about buyer three's offer specifically and tell them that if they beat number three's offer, they can have the house. And
sure,
I know that sounds like that might not be right, but remember, the seller is just responsible for looking out for the seller's best interest.
No, I can see where that could, but as long as they follow through on that, as long as say, you know, if they come up with an offer that's thus and thus, I'm going to stop this whole thing. And, you know, they get the house as long as that's what they do. And as long as that offer is valid, you know, I mean, that's the other thing. As long as it's not like, well, I'd pay so-and-so for this, you know.
Yes. And Larry, I'm going to give you a little tip.
Okay, just one real quick one. Okay.
Real quick. But if somebody's telling you something that's hard to believe, it's always possible they're lying.
Okay.
I don't know what else to tell you.
No, I know. I just, you know, that seems like an area that could be played in a lot of different ways, especially when demand is particularly high, which it has
been.
That's
right.
You know, where people can say, well, that's a good offer, but boy, we got another offer over here. You know, you might want to check and see if you can go a little higher on that. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right. And they could even give you a specific price. Hey, Larry, if you don't mind, if anybody wants to reach me, I'm Cleve Gaddis, REMAX Center, Gaddis Partners, 770-497-0000. And they can reach me online at gogaddis.com, GOGADDIS.com. Also, they can listen in today, 2 o'clock, on News Talk 1160 for the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show, where we've got that special guest, Scott Murphy of D.S. Murphy & Associates, talking all about appraisers and appraisals, and he is also the chairman of the Georgia Appraisers Board. So it's a very interesting conversation. You definitely want to tune in. 2 o'clock today, News Talk 1160.
Okay, we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks, Larry.